Welcome to the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast, a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. I am a critical care registered nurse with a background in youth ministry and window cleaning. That last one has nothing to do with the theme of this podcast, but I did it for 13 years, so if you know anyone who needs their windows cleaned, please don't call me, because I don't do that anymore. Instead, I'm inviting you on a 90-day journey of physical, mental, and spiritual health through the Christian practices of prayer, spiritual reading, meditation, and gratitude. I'm also going to encourage you to exercise at least 3 times per week. In the end, our goal is 3 hours of spiritual devotion and 3 hours of physical exercise per week. And because I believe faith was not meant to be done alone, I invite you to find and engage in a local church community. So please, follow this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and join me on a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Today we are on exercise 24 of 36 on our 90-day journey, and we are on exercise 12 of 12 of our second of 3 30-day challenges. So even if you missed an exercise, the good news is we have a bonus makeup exercise for our next episode, which is episode 26. And just a reminder, our goal is to exercise 12 times per month. And if you exercise 3 times per week, that gives you a bonus exercise every 30 days. So as I'm recording this morning, it's St. Patrick's Day. I know you'll be past St. Patrick's Day when you listen to this, but I'm wearing green as I'm recording this, and I hope I don't get pinched. There was a time in my life when my family thought that we were Irish, and then we learned that Russell was actually Rousseau and that our ancestors came from France, and my dad said, well, I guess I can't hate the French anymore. I'm too likable. And so I guess I'm in good company, though, because you know who else wasn't Irish? St. Patrick. Yeah, that's right. He was English, and he got kidnapped by Irish pirates and sold into slavery. He eventually escaped 6 years later, and he felt like God called him back to the Irish to preach the good news of Jesus. So we're glad he did, because now we get to celebrate every March 17th and wear green and have fun and, you know, keep sharing the good news. So with that in mind, let's dive into today's spiritual exercise. 5 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of Bible reading, 10 minutes of spiritual reading, and 5 minutes of gratitude. As always, we will be praying the Lord's Prayer, the Serenity Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. And I've placed links to each of these prayers in the show notes. So let's go ahead and start with the Lord's Prayer. It's Monday, which means it's Debtor Monday. So when we get to that part of the Lord's Prayer where we're either sinners, trespassers, or debtors, we will say debts today. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray the Serenity Prayer now. And there's no difference in how we pray that. We've been praying it the same way each week. And so let's go ahead and pray the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. All right. Well, now that we've prayed the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, let's go ahead and pray the Apostles' Creed together. God, oh, that's not it. I was about to say the Serenity Prayer again. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. I noticed something as I was at church on Sunday that I've said that we're praying the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed as we say it at my church. But actually, there's one difference. The version of the Apostles' Creed that I found the link to in legionnaireministries.org is actually one word that it uses that we don't use at our church is the word begotten. But I actually believe the word begotten is very important because in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So one, it's just scriptural, it's in line with scripture, but we also know that God, that Jesus was the firstborn of many brother of the dead, that he resurrected, and so he is the first born among the dead, those who rose from the dead, and eventually we will too, and that we become sons and daughters of God. And so I believe that to just say that Jesus was God's only son, we have to realize that that we become sons and daughters through adoption as we become saved through Christ. And Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. So I know it's just a little distinction. I'm not going to nitpick or I wouldn't say it any different. And I'm sure that if there was somebody here from the Presbyterian church that I go to or one that prays like that, they'd probably have some reason why they pray it the way that they do as well, which is fine. So, but anyways, just thought I'd throw that out there. There is one little difference, just that word begotten, but I thought let's go ahead and stick with it. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray 2 minutes of meditative focused breathing where we can meditate on what God has laid on your heart this morning. So let's go ahead and take a deep breath in and exhale. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. Exhale. 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 Big inhale. And exhale. All right. Well, good job. That finishes our 2 minutes of focused breathing. Now we're going to go ahead, we're going to head into 10 minutes of Bible reading. We're picking up where we left off last episode in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seventh plenteous year, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the seventh years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city. Laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil. and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. And God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he hath said to you do. And the famine was over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's son. We are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and he is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine off your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so, and they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. For he spake unto them by an interpreter, and he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and he told them all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies, but we 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take for food the famine of your household, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then I shall know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him unto my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him, for my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame for ever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spice, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. That sounds yummy. And take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand. And Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen, and for our asses. And they neared to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack. Our money is full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand, and the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and they gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave them their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And we'll go ahead and we'll stop there. That's past our 10-minute mark. And we'll pick it up next time in chapter 43, verse 26. And so now we're going to head on into our favorite 17th century French monk, Mr. Brother Lawrence. We are picking it up in think it's page 21. It's the sixth letter. I'm scrolling through my little PDF here. All right, sixth letter. It's page 16. I have received from M the things which you gave her for me. I wonder that you have not given your thoughts on the little book I sent to you and which you must have received. Set heartily about the practice of it in your old age. It is better late than never. I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. For my part, I kept myself retired with him in the depth and center of my soul as much as I can while I am with him. I fear nothing, but the least turning from him is insupportable. This practice does not tire the body. It is, however, proper to deprive it sometimes, nay, often, of many little pleasures which are innocent and lawful. God will not permit a soul that desires to be devoted entirely to him to take pleasures other than with him. That is more than reasonable. I do not say we must put any violent constraint upon ourselves. No, we must serve God in a holy freedom. We must work faithfully without trouble or disquiet, recalling our mind to God mildly and with tranquility as often as we find it wandering from him. It is, however, necessary to put our whole trust in God. We must lay aside all other cares and even some forms of devotion. Though very good in themselves, yet such as one often engages in routinely. These devotions are only means to attain to the end. Once we have established a habit of the practice of the presence of God, we are then with him who is our end. We have no need to return to the means. We may simply continue with him in our commence of love, persevering in his holy presence with an act of praise, of adoration, or of desire, or with an act of resignation or thanksgiving, and in all the ways our spirits can invent. Be not discouraged by the repugnance which you may find in it from nature. You must sacrifice yourself at first. One often thinks it a waste of time, but you must go on and resolve to persevere in it until death, notwithstanding all the difficulties that may occur. I recommend myself to the prayers of your holy society and yours in particular. I am yours in the Lord. Seventh letter. I pity you much. It will be a great relief if you can leave the care of your affairs to M and spend the remainder of your life only in worshiping God. He requires no great matters of us, a little remembrance of him from time to time, a little adoration, sometimes to pray for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, and sometimes to return him thanks for the favors he has given you and still gives you in the midst of your troubles. Console yourself with him the oftenest you can. Lift up your heart to him at your meals and when you are in company. The least little remembrance will always be pleasing to him. You need not cry very loud. He is nearer to us than we are aware, and we do not always have to be in church to be with God. We may make an oratory of our heart so we can, from time to time, retire to converse with him in meekness, humility, and love. Everyone is capable of such familiar conversation with God, some more, some less. He knows what we can do. Let us begin then. He expects but one generous resolution on our part. Have courage. We have but little time to live. You are nearly 64, and I am almost 80. Let us live and die with God. Suffering will be sweet and pleasant while we are with him. Without him, the greatest pleasures will be a cruel punishment to us. May he be blessed by all. Gradually become accustomed to worship him in this way, to beg his grace, to offer him your heart from time to time, in the midst of your business, even every moment if you can. Do not always scrupulously confine yourself to certain rules of particular forms of devotion. Instead, act in faith with love and humility. You may assure M of my poor prayers, and that I am their servant and yours particularly. Eighth letter. You tell me nothing new. You are not the only one who is troubled with wandering thoughts. Our mind is extremely roving, but the will is mistress of all our faculties. She must recall our stray thoughts and carry them to God as their final end. If the mind is not sufficiently controlled and disciplined at our first engaging in devotion, It contracts certain bad habits of wandering and dissipation. These are difficult to overcome. The mind can draw us, even against our own will, to worldly things. I believe one remedy for this is to humbly confess our faults and beg God's mercy and help. I do not advise you to use multiplicity of words in prayer. Many words and long discourses are often the occasions of wandering. Hold yourself in prayer before God, like a dumb or paralytic beggar at a rich man's gate. Let it be your business to keep your mind in the presence of the Lord. If your mind sometimes wanders and withdraws itself from Him, do not become upset. Trouble and disquiet serve rather than to distract the mind than to recollect it. Then we must bring it back in tranquility. If you persevere in this manner, God will have pity on you. One way to recollect the mind easily in time of prayer and persevere it more in tranquility is not to let it wander too far at other times. Keep your mind strictly in the presence of God. Then, being accustomed to Him often, you will find it easy to keep your mind calm in the time of prayer, or at least to recall it from its wanderings. I have told you already of the advantages we may draw from this practice of the presence of God. Let us set about it seriously and pray for one another. And we'll go ahead and we'll stop there. I'm not quite sure where we're at with our 10 minutes, but we are approaching the ninth letter, and so we'll go ahead and pick up the ninth letter in the next episode. So for now, we're going to head into our 5 minutes of gratitude. Go ahead and get your gratitude journal. You can pause this episode if you want and write out your three things that you're thankful for today and why, and the three things about the most meaningful experience of your day. For me, again, I'm recording this on St. Patrick's Day, so I'm going to say the first thing I'm thankful for today is St. Patrick's Day, because green is one of my two favorite colors. The other one is blue, and I love any excuse to celebrate. So that's number one. Number two is that I'm working in Tulsa this Sunday night, because it means I'm not on the road, which is nice. I'm close to home. And number three is very simple. I'm just thankful for hot water, because it's a nice alternative to hot coffee when you need something warm to drink, but you've already had way too much caffeine. And that's where I'm at this morning, coming off the night shift. So number three, the next one is three things about the most meaningful experience of my day. First, I'm going to say it was getting to see my former pastor and boss, Dr. Jim Miller, baptize his granddaughter at church on Sunday morning, and getting to see his daughter Courtney smile every time he said something cute or loving towards his granddaughter, which would be her daughter. And then number three is getting to hear him preach again, because he got to do our children's time lesson, so all the little kids got to come forward and sit at the front of the sanctuary, and he did a little sermon. He even used a puppet called Llama Lammy, and it was really silly. And he's such a good, gifted teacher and has such a great heart. So I'm going to say that was the most meaningful experience of my day in the last 24 hours. I know that you've got yours, so just some days are harder than others to think of them, but they're there. And the more you do it, it's like building muscle. You're going to get that ability to draw on the goodness in your life more easily the more that you practice it. So now I'm going to encourage you to get your 30 minutes of Zone 2 cardio with a 5-minute warm-up and 5-minute cool-down. I have not been to the gym yet this morning, but that is my plan, is to head there in just a little bit. And then if you've got the time and you're ready to add to this, go ahead and add in your 20 minutes of strength training. And as far as guidance on the strength training, listen to your body. One thing I've noticed with me in the past is when I start lifting, I can tend to try to do too much too quickly. And now that I'm a little bit older, I do a better job of listening to my body. And so, for example, I was doing free weights and I was benching and doing curls and other things, and I noticed that I was developing tendonitis in my elbows. And so I immediately stopped doing the free weights with my bench and with some overhead lifts. And I started using not the machine where it's got like poles on it, but where you can put free weights, but it makes my motion smoother. because sometimes my technique can get a little bit sloppy, and I think that's where the tendonitis was coming in, was that I was trying to push myself too hard, and then the free weight was a little bit hard for me to steady because I was using too heavy weight. And since I've transitioned to using the machine where I can put the weight on there, it's made it where my motion is smoother, and I can tell that flare up in my elbows has gone away. And so listen to your body, but don't give up. Don't let it be something that keeps you from going back. So if you have found that you're maybe you've aggravated an old injury, give it time to heal. And in the meantime, you can exercise other muscle groups that aren't injured, because it's always good to keep exercising. Even I remember watching a rehab video about somebody who had broken a leg, and they said that even moving your other leg on a stationary bicycle, the good leg that's not broken, helps to prevent the muscle in the broken leg from atrophying, which is pretty amazing, that even if you're not moving that leg that's broken, just by doing exercises with the good leg, you keep the bad leg from atrophying. So, you know, don't give up. Just kind of shift your exercise to muscle groups that maybe aren't injured at the moment, and that'll keep your routine going and make sure that you're, as soon as that the other injury heals, that you're able to get back into it, and just take it slow and gradually build up. This is a lifetime thing. This isn't something that we're doing, you know, short time here. We're trying to create a sustainable routine, and like I said before, it's the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady wins the race. It's not about racing to try to build as much muscle as possible as quickly as possible, but it's just about creating a slow and steady routine that you can do again and again and again and again. And so thanks for tuning in to this episode of the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast. I hope that this has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. If not, I hope that you do find a practice that is beneficial for your body, mind, and spirit. But if it has been beneficial for you and it gives you a place for God to work in your body, mind, and spirit, then please give this podcast a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to this podcast, and keep tuning in for 90 days. See you next time.